Top story certainly is the suspect arrested in Altoona linked to the execution-style murder of the CEO, healthcare professional. And joining us, our former colleague, anchorwoman Melinda Roeder, who is now the news director at WTAJ in Altoona, wrote the story with Marty Griffin yesterday. Melinda, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I can't imagine Altoona, just almost a Norman Rockwell-type town, and all of a sudden the focus of certainly the country and maybe eyes around the world on McDonald's and finding this suspect. Kind of step us through what happened yesterday.
Yeah, so it appears that around 9:15 yesterday morning, there were some employees and also, some customers. Employees and customers that were there at McDonald's started to recognize the man that was sitting there at one of the booths in the back working on his laptop, and believed that they recognized him from the photos that have been circulated so widely by the NYPD over the last week. Somebody decided we needed to call 911. So it was an employee, we understand, who phoned 911 and explained that there was someone there in the restaurant. Everybody did a great job of keeping calm, apparently. And the responding officer who showed up at that McDonald's, only 6 months on the police force here in Altoona, walks up to the man who's there wearing the blue medical mask covering the lower part of his face and begins to question him. He was working on a laptop. He had a gray backpack with him. When he pulled down the medical mask, police instantly recognized that this could very well be the suspect in that execution-style shooting. They started to question him. They asked him for his ID. He handed over a fake New Jersey ID. Once they realized it was fake, they asked him why he, handed over this fake ID. And he said, well, clearly I shouldn't have. They asked, were you recently in New York City? And that is when the suspect, Luigi Mangione, began to shake and started to behave very suspiciously. But he did not resist arrest. They were able to take him into custody. Once they get him back to the police station is where they searched through that backpack, and they found this homemade, this gun, this firearm that he made with a 3D printer, a silencer, a mask that they believe now was involved in that shooting in New York City. They also found what they are calling a manifesto, writings that might give them some indication about a possible motive. They haven't released many details to us yet about the contents of that manifesto, but we know that that provides some key clues. And then once they had him back here at the Altoona police station, it took a couple of hours for NYPD detectives to arrive, but they spent much of the afternoon questioning him until we understand he eventually lawyered up.
Yeah, and Melinda, this is Paul Rasmussen. I understand from what I've been reading that he's refusing to cooperate. He's not talking at all.
Initially he was, and then at some point, he decides he's going to stop cooperating. So I'm not sure if that's, after NYPD arrived, but clearly there was enough key evidence here that they felt that they could pursue charges. So initially he was being held here in Altoona on a forgery charge. That's for having the fake IDs. And then the firearms. Now, of course, we know he's facing a charge of murder out of New York City.
And we also know that he came to Pittsburgh at some point in this 5-day period. And Governor Josh Shapiro, as you know, has asked anybody who believes they had any encounter with them to contact police. And I think what's stunning to a lot of us is this young man's background, a valedictorian at a school in Baltimore prep school, part of his 2016.
And I'm familiar with that school.
Oh, really?
Because I used to work in Baltimore. So that Gilman School it's a very, very highly ranked private school. The tuition's like $40,000 a year there. We understand that, his family is a well-off family. They own a chain of either nursing homes or personal care homes in that area. And in fact, he has a relative that's serving on the state legislature out there in Maryland. So a very well-known family in that area of Baltimore. He's from Towson, by the way. That's in Baltimore County. It's just a little bit north of the city of Baltimore, for some context.
Wow, what an incredible story. I mean, people followed this because it was really, when you talk about police work and the work that they did with the video from that went viral of the actual shooting to tracking him and where he had been to eventually Altoona, Pennsylvania, hard to believe. But, well, Linda, appreciate it. How have you been doing since you left us to be a big shot at as news director?
You know, it's very different calling the shots here. You know, on a day like yesterday when it's chaotic, I'm sort of the, you know, conductor of the orchestra and trying to manage crews that we wanted to, you know, send out right away. We had a crew out at the McDonald's, of course, where, you know, the shooter was, the suspected shooter, I should say, was arrested. We also, you know, had crews down at the Altoona Police Department, and we're trying to organize live shots because it took a while for any national crews to arrive here in Altoona. So everybody's asking us for information that we were trying to provide. But you know how it is in news, right? It's never a boring day, and you never know when that great big story is going to break. But I certainly miss all of the listeners there at KDKA, and you, Larry, and Raz, and everybody else on the team.
Well, you always did an exemplary job, and as a professor, managing all those things, we're happy for you, and thanks for taking time for us this morning.
It's a really good thing, Melinda, that you were there to lead the team in the moment like you had yesterday.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's great to hear. You know, we're going to be staying on top of the story because, as you mentioned a moment ago, Larry, they're going to be trying to trace his steps across the state of Pennsylvania. I mean, why would he just arbitrarily show up at a McDonald's here in Altoona? We don't believe he has any ties to the Altoona area, although, you know, we're relatively close to the Maryland state line here. But, you know, where was he going and where was he headed to? Clearly, they believe he was headed west when he went from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. But then why circle back to Altoona? So hopefully we're going to get some more information about that today. I'm hoping that we can hear the 911 call at some point that was made from, you know, the McDonald's to police. So we'll try to fill in some more details for you throughout the day.
News director WTAJ in Altoona, our own Melinda Roeder. Thank you, Melinda.
It's like you always say, Larry, there's always a Pittsburgh connection.
It's unbelievable.
Right?
It really is. Yeah. Thanks, Melinda.
You take care.
And we mentioned, and it's worth mentioning again, Paul, there's a total of $60,000 reward money available. 10 of that would go to the arrest. So either the customer or the employee who called 911, they'll share it.
And to hear Melinda tell it, it's more than one person now.
Yes. So, and then $50,000 of FBI money, but that's for a conviction.
Arrest and conviction both.
So, we've got something next week I think you'll love to be a part of if you are available Wednesday, December 18th, one night only. Our five Odyssey Pittsburgh radio stations will gather. We'll be flipping the turntables, turning Mike's Beer Bar into the biggest Christmas karaoke spot in the North Shore, where our on-air hosts and local celebrities will take the mic for celebrity karaoke to support Light of Life Rescue Mission. Get all the details at kdkradio.com, brought to you by Monster Brewing Highlight. And we've tried to get the names of who's going to participating in this event here to be determined. Meanwhile, it's that time of the year. People feeling generous. How many people have asked you, did you get your Christmas shopping done yet? I've had a few. But I want to share this. And Paul, we talked about this. And Aaron, wait till you hear. How'd you like to work for Taylor Swift? She's just about to wrap up her Eras tour, and she has handed out, now think about this, $197 million in bonuses to her crew. That's truck drivers, roadies, the band.
No.
Backup dancers.
I heard this on TV this morning.
How many people are we talking here?
Stage riggers, a physical therapist. She travels with a physical therapist.
I mean, imagine. Yeah, imagine touring for as long as she has been. The dancers.
I mean,
yeah, that's a grind. It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's show business and
it's Broadway,
in the spotlight,
basically.
But basically,
it's,
yeah,
Broadway. They perform every night for the most part.
She did the same thing last Christmas, where she gave just about everybody that works for $100,000 for Christmas. Come on, man.
She is. She's very generous.
And this is $197 million. Paul, you asked the great question is how many ways do we split this? How many? Notice I said we. I mean, she was in Pittsburgh twice. I did have.
Yeah, we did talk about her. She probably owes us a small tip of some type.
Well, you know, she sang the national anthem before a Steelers game before she became famous, when her first album was out. So congrats to John Waterick, who recognized her talent.
Right.
You know, he works with the Steelers and at Acrisure, and he's in the music business too, and he recognized her talent. And last year when she came here for two nights, she travels with her parents, right? Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
And they remembered him and thanked him for, you know, recognizing the talent of his
That's one of the biggest stars in the world.
There's always a Pittsburgh connection.
Well, you know what they say, Larry, about the show business and the entertainment industry and media, too. Be nice to the people you meet on the way up the ladder because you're going to meet them coming back.
Wow. Yep.
Amen. So, her tour is wrapping up, and she has sold just shy of $2.1 billion in tickets.
By the way, did you say how many employees she has?
I can't find how many.
All right.
But still, $197 million.
They're like, we'll just tell you how much she dished out. We're not going to tell you how many.
It's got to be in the hundreds.
It's for
sure.
Right?
Yeah. Best-selling tour of all time. So let's see if Siri knows. You want to ask her?
Yeah.
Hey, Siri, how many people work for Taylor Swift on her Eros tour? Let's see. Cast crew, it doesn't. She doesn't. She stopped talking to me, by the way. Siri and I are not.
I've noticed that. Sometimes she talks, but not so much.
Sometimes she's nonverbal.
Sometimes she just, you know, lets me know what I want to know.
Yep.
Sometimes she doesn't. I'm trying to find the number of employees. I can't yet, but we're going to track this down.
Dancers alone, she probably has close to or over 100.
Really? No kidding.
Well, because she has so many different, I'm thinking from a performance standpoint, she has so many different scenes that she either has 50 dancers and they're changing very quickly, or she has 100 and they're split in half. You know, half are doing these numbers, half are doing these.
Right.
You know, just to keep it flowing.
What if somebody gave you $100,000 Christmas bonus?
Wow. Ho, ho, ho.
Yep.
Man, I mean, the things that I would do with $100,000, boy, I'd have to sit down and make a list. That's a lot of money.
So we got a new producer here, Mike, whose real name is James, and he's in there shocked. Mike, this is not happening here, so don't get excited.
He's in there for a second day, huh?
Yeah, yes, he is.
He's watching what Aaron does. Watch very carefully.
Apparently couldn't get enough.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us. I saw a story. I know we get ready for a new year, and I'm a big fan of the movie industry here in Pittsburgh. And joining us is the executive director, Don Keyser. PGHfilm.org, great resource, and we've become quite the movie destination place for a long time. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
I'm good, but what caught my ear and eye yesterday was the mayor of Kingstown coming back and a chance for people to participate first as extras. That's one foot in the door anyway to the industry, right?
Absolutely, and it's fun and it's a good way to participate in an industry that's brought over $2.5 billion to this region's economy. We're so excited Mayor of Kingstown's back for season four. And can't wait to see it all get moving next month.
Yeah. Has there ever been a show that's done four seasons in Pittsburgh?
We've never gotten to a season four with any show that was based in Pittsburgh. No, not yet. This one, technically, it's their third season in Pittsburgh. The first season was shot in Canada because at the time they wanted to come here, we unfortunately didn't have enough film tax credits to get them in Pittsburgh for season one. But we've been able to keep them here for seasons two, three, and now four. So we're pretty excited about that.
And Don, you've been doing this for 30 years in this town. You've seen all the changes, and yet we hear from politicians that they understand the model. They understand the metrics, yet it's been a challenge to get that tax credit moved higher. Why?
I wish I knew that answer, and then you and I would probably like be sitting on a beach having this conversation somewhere. I don't know, Larry. You know, we've made the arguments. We've showed the employment numbers. We've shown the economic benefit, and those are all easily traceable, trackable, and you can prove it every single day. At some moment in time, people get confused that the film and TV industry should be treated any differently than, I don't know, automobile manufacturing or any other type of factory that would decide to come in Pittsburgh, spend over $2.5 billion since 1995. Most of these shows run $100, $150 million per show. They're here for 6 months. They spend the bulk of their money here in the region. And we have over 5,000 people that work in this industry on a full-time basis. So, you know, we're a real industry, but I think people get caught up in the entertainment side of it. They forget these are local Pennsylvanians. These are your friends and neighbors working in this industry. It's not just about, you know, the actors. They make it a little fun. It's a fun industry, right? We're not really counting widgets every day. But these are real family-sustaining jobs, paying real family-sustaining wages, and spending real money in this region's economy. And we'd like the support. We're very hopeful for the February budget with the governor that he increases it in his budget. It makes our ask to the legislators a lot easier when we can show the governor's support. We're not sure where we're there yet, but we're hoping. Christmas miracles happen, right? So we're going to keep hoping and calling our elected officials and asking for help.
We're with Don Keyser, executive director of the Pittsburgh Film Office. That said, over the years, we've had some of the biggest shows here, and a lot of the actors and stars love working here as well. It's just, for them, I would imagine, a lot easier to navigate. And the people around here are genuinely friendly, too. That doesn't hurt.
So, well, you know, we have three reasons anyone ever comes to shoot here. The film tax credits, our diversity of locations, our incredible crew that you can't find anywhere in this world. But the unsung heroes are really the people of southwestern Pennsylvania. We're film friendly to, you know, the ninth degree, if you will. They welcome everyone. They're friendly. They're excited. And you're right. They run into a celebrity at a Steeler game or in a bar or wherever. They don't, you know, interrupt their lives or do anything that might happen in a different city. Here, they're welcoming. They're excited they're here. And we're proud of the fact that southwestern Pennsylvania is featured so prominently. So they get that welcome from everybody, and the film office is extremely grateful to have that support throughout the region, that everybody's excited about this industry when it's here.
And that said, the arc just in the last 4 years, when we had a shutdown because of COVID, then you had writer strike, actor strike, then you dealt with all this, it's finally starting to break out in a good way. We've seen record numbers of people going back to theaters to see movies. That's encouraging.
It is encouraging. And we're hoping this is just a downturn and a cycle that we've seen over the years. You know, the industry is always cyclical. Right now, they're having a great time in other countries because the exchange rates are so favorable to them working there. You know, we talked about The Pit, I believe, the show that is basically ER 2.0, if you will. They're filming in Los Angeles, set in Pittsburgh. And then the show Watson, which is filming in Vancouver, Canada, set in Pittsburgh, they left the country because it's a $16 million difference between filming in Vancouver and filming in Pittsburgh. And that's just the exchange rate. That doesn't include the incentives or anything else.
And that's kind of what generated this whole thing in the first place years ago when films were going to Canada, particularly in Vancouver. So it's cyclical, but you got a chance in February to make some headway. Hope you do. And if you want to support the industry, make sure you let your elected officials know and contact Don Keyser, Pittsburgh Film Office. And also, is that best resource to become an extra for the next mayor of Kingstown?
Yes, go to pghfilm.org, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, any of the social. We put all the information out there, and you just click, 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 and you're signing up with the company that's handling the casting for mayor of Kingstown, which should start later in the month. And yes, please continue to support us when you're speaking to legislators. And Larry, I know when you're speaking to the governor, you can ask him about it too. He's been supportive. We're just really hoping we can get it in the budget this time so that it just makes the push a little bit easier when we're talking to everyone, because then it looks like we're all working together, which we should be. This industry means real money to southwestern Pennsylvania. These are real people. These are real jobs. These are their livelihoods. We need help to make sure this continues.
Don, appreciate the time this morning. Good luck. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it.
You got it. Don Keyser, executive director of the Pittsburgh Film Office. Go to pghfilm.org. Check out The Drive at 5, top stories of the day, driving the news. Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, demand the yellow van. We're going to check in with our colleague Lynn Hayes Freeland also in our next hour. And I'm going to ask her about a story that I found. Aaron, you'll find this interesting too. It's called Granny's Purse Syndrome. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I never did till yesterday. And what it is grandmothers with grandchildren.
They have everything?
Don't secure their medications properly in some cases so that they become accessible to the kids in, quote, granny's purse.
Right.
In fact, pediatricians, this must be an issue because they're putting out just warnings to grandmothers and grandfathers to, if you have kids coming to the house, secure your medications and other items that might be poisonous that you may have done when your kids were little, but you don't think of it necessarily in the same way because, well, they're not here that often or that. So
it only takes one time for your kid to see, and then they're hip to your schemes.
And believe me, I can tell you firsthand, kids, they know how to get into everything.
Yep.
Especially the little kids. So be careful with granny's purse. Plus, they could be taking money, too. It's just like, hey, grandma,
oh, yeah,
give me some dough.
They're like, what's that, green stuff?